Chronicles chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9, we're picking up where we left off last week, dealing with ordinary sorrow, but with extraordinary support. Of course, our theme all year is you and I are serving an extraordinary God, and He desires to use ordinary people like you and I. And when you are ordinary people, sometimes you are plagued with ordinary sorrow, such as is common to man. Unfortunately, when you have ordinary sorrow, to you it seems like anything but ordinary. Amen. You have sorrow, it seems extraordinary, amen, in your life and in mine. We're looking at a guy by the name of Jabez who has extraordinary circumstances going on here, and God is willing and able to help him, amen. So the yearly theme has been extraordinary God using ordinary people, looking at ordinary sorrow with extraordinary support. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, we were here last week. Everybody there say amen. You need a moment, just say oh me. All right, amen. Again, by the way, we all face sorrow at some point in life. Some of us early on, some of us midlife, some later in life, but all of us are going to face this foe called sorrow. And because God's made us emotional creatures, it's going to take a toll on us in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Jabez is named after sorrow. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9, read that with me. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And then I'm just going to read the beginning of verse number 10, because that's what we're going to be looking at today, since we looked at the rest of that last week. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And that's where we left off last week. He said, oh God, if you would just bless me indeed. We'll give you some background as to why he's saying that, get us caught up, and we'll finish the rest of this out today. Jabez, his sorrow seems to have started at birth somehow, some way, but we just don't know a lot about him. But we do know a lot about his sorrow. We do know a lot about his prayer, and we uncovered some things that possibly happened in his background. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Lord, as we look at this man that has some sorrow in his life, Lord, we're reminded that we all will face sorrow at some point in life. We just don't know when it will be there, but we know sorrow is going to be somewhere in our lifetime. God, as we look at Jabez and his life, help us to glean from his life some things that could make a difference in our life. Knowing that we serve an extraordinary God, Lord, you give extraordinary support. And we're ordinary people, Lord, like Jabez, and he's got some ordinary sorrow. But, oh God, I'm so glad that he does the right thing. He says, oh God, that thou will bless me indeed. In spite of his sorrow, he's asking for the hand of God to be upon him. Lord, work in our midst, work in our hearts today. Perhaps there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has a sorrowful situation going on in their life. And God, although I can't do anything, you're an extraordinary God with extraordinary support. You can do everything. And God, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that has some sorrow today. That, Lord, they might see their help in you. They might see their hope in you. And as the song we just sung said, they may put their hope in you and say, my hope is in the Lord. And Father, I do pray that if there's one today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if they die today and they do not know that heaven is their home, they may call on Jesus Christ. They may see their need for a Savior. They may see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They may see the wages of those same sins as death, but then they may call on you to save them, Lord, from an eternity of separation and get gloriously born again. For those with sorrow, Lord, ease the pain. Help them to see how they can call on you. And Lord, in spite of the sorrow, they can still be successful. Thank you for loving us, Lord, to help us to leave here today differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable of the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God, a little bit more Christ-like in our dealings. and what we do, what we say, what we think. And Lord, help us to leave here, Lord, the way you would have us to, walking uprightly in the Spirit of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And amen. And you may be seated. And Mrs. Dawson's going to sing for us. Now, if I was to ask how many of us are familiar with sorrow, I'm sure all of our hands would go up. Amen. Now, the next question would be, how many have had it since birth? I think that would probably would change things. Amen. When I was born, I think it was happy times. Amen. The child was born in the house, and I think they all jumped up for joy. The first boy was born to the Dawson family. I think my family rejoiced. Amen. And then they saw my behavior, and then sorrow came shortly thereafter. Amen. Jabez, I don't know what brought the sorrow on, amen, and what he did or what went on with that birth, but we're going to see a few things here today. I trust that what you have done has not caused sorrow to your mother, amen, and named you after sorrow as well, or when she sees you, she thinks sorrow, amen. Some of us, we see certain kids come around, we're like, oh, here they come again, oh, no. I'm so glad, amen, we have the grace of God to deal with those sorrowful times in our lives, amen. By the way, if you do cause someone sorrow, try not to do that often, amen. All right, we did see some things last week. We saw the character of Jabez last week, the character of Jabez, and notice in verse number 9, we saw that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, why he was more honorable, the Bible does not say, but we did look up the word honorable and saw that it has a dual meaning. It can mean something that is heavy in a bad sense or burdensome, but it also can mean something that's good in a numerous sense of being rich and weighty. And it could be that he was honorable because his mother knew that, hey, in spite of causing me sorrow, this boy is going to be a success. Amen. There's going to be something about him. My mother, when she had my sister that's older than me, she almost died at birth. And that was a difficult birth that she had to go through. And they said that there was remnants of possibly a twin that was born therein because some other things came out there. And my mother almost died. And the doctors during that time of her delivery did not know that she was trying to say something. So they forced her back down and she was trying to throw up. And they forced her back down and put the mask back on. And she almost choked to death. And so she almost died at that birth. So if you can think about a sorrowful time, that was a sorrowful time for her. She still talks about that painful experience that she had when my sister was born. Now, when I came out, everything was hunky-dory. Amen. I think I slipped right on out, probably slapped my mother 5 and said, amen, I'm here. And my mother probably said, I've got me a man-child. Amen. Then I started causing her sorrow. She said, I wish I never had this man-child. Amen. But I had my moments with my mother, amen. But his name here, honorable, has a dual meaning for good and bad. And so the character of Jabez, we understand that he was honorable. Then we looked at the concern of Jabez, the concern. Notice the rest of that verse. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. So Jabez means sorrowful. And the Bible had meaning to their Bible names back then. They depicted their name based upon certain things that went on with the child, the character, things of that nature. And so he was named after sorrow. So something about him was sorrowful. And by the way, not only was he named for sorrow, but he was known for sorrow. All his life, he would have that name. All my life, I have the name of Gregory Allen Dawson. Gregory meaning vigilant or watchful. Allen after my dad. And then, of course, I have the family name of Dawson. So all my life, I'm reminded of who I am. I've got my name of vigilant and watchful. I've got my dad's name. And so I've got my dad's name in there. And then I'm a Dawson. So all my life, I'm reminded of that. All Jabez's life, he was reminded of sorrow he caused his mother at birth. All of his life. I caused my mother pain. I caused my mother sorrow. I caused grief in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Again, the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say what this sorrow was, but we did talk about this last week. There is inward sorrow. And inward sorrow is something that we don't share with others. Then we said that there's shared sorrow. That's something that you often share with someone else. You want someone to know. Then we talked about there's outward sorrow as well. That outward sorrow is that which you want everybody to know. Jabez had outward sorrow. Everybody knew by his name, he calls his mother sorrow. Some way, shape, fashion, or form. We mentioned this. You and I are going to have sorrow in possibly a situation. Possibly a job. Possibly our financial situation. Maybe a wayward child. Maybe a relationship gone awry. Maybe parents. Or maybe mockery or oppression. Maybe depression. Maybe a personal loss is going to cause sorrow. Maybe alcoholism in our family or drugs or an addiction causes that, or doubt or fear or some medical or some other thing in our life causes sorrow. There may be something, but it's going to either be inward sorrow that we share with someone else, the pain that it's causing, or it's going to be maybe some shared sorrow. I'm going to share with someone else because I don't want to go through this alone, or it's going to be outward. I want everybody to know how bad I feel. If you're following social media, you know that Antonio Brown wants everybody to know how bad he's feeling about being cut from the Patriots, amen? But he bought most of that on himself. But he wants everybody to know how bad off it is to be cut from a team and only get possibly $283,000 a year. I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad. Not to say the fact that he lost about $10 million for being just plain old, not wise. Some of you would say just being plain old stupid. His actions were unwise. And so he lost millions of dollars. And so he's going through this outward sorrow. I want everybody to know how bad it is. So the character of Jabez, he was more honorable than his brethren. The concern of Jabez is he was named for sorrow and he was known for sorrow. Then we looked at the call of Jabez. Notice verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez called on the God of Israel, and we began to kind of research why Jabez would call on the God of Israel. Remember, Israel was not his given name. Israel was his changed or transformed name. His given name was Jacob, heel catcher, trickster. And we thought about how possibly Jabez is calling on the God of Israel because Jacob, too, had a similar situation. Although his started at birth, he was known as a trickster or deceiver, and he tricked his brother out of the birthright, and he tricked his brother out of the blessing. And as he went to his uncle Laban, he was deceived by his uncle and got a taste of his own medicine. Then on the way back, that name of Jacob or trickster got changed to Israel. And Israel, as a prince with God, went through a name change. We also found out that Jacob had another child by the name of Benjamin. Benjamin was first named Benoni, meant the son of my sorrow. And because of him causing sorrow to Rachel, she said, name him the son of my sorrow. But we said we believe Benjamin was called Benjamin instead of Benoni because Jacob said, you know what? I was named Jacob. I lived up to being a trickster and a deceit. I don't want to put that same thing on Benjamin. I don't want to know him as the son of my sorrow. I'm going to change that. I'm going to call him Benjamin, son of my right hand, instead of son of my sorrow, because I don't want to be reminded of this, nor do I want him to live his whole life with this name Benoni causing sorrow. So his name was changed to Benjamin. We saw that last week. And so we saw Jacob with a name change from Jacob to Israel. Benjamin had his name changed from Benoni to Benjamin. And then Jabez probably comes up here and said, well, my name wasn't changed. Benoni was changed to Benjamin. Jacob was changed to Israel. I'm still stuck with Jabez. And as I look back on my family tree and my history, how come my name wasn't changed? And we said, I believe somewhere along the line, he must have said, you know what? He called on God there and he said, God bless me. And we saw that where he struggled with the angel. He wrestled with the angel. He said, let me go. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he said, your name is no longer going to be called Jacob, but it's going to be called Israel. We said possibly, just possibly,
Jabez looked at that and said, you know what? My name wasn't changed, but I know the God of Israel. And if he had a transformation and if he had a change, I don't need to have a change, but I can sure call on that same God of Israel who had a name change way back then. And he had a transformation from that point on. He was not the same. I know the God of Israel. I can call on that God. And although I've been known for sorrow, I can be known for success if I just ask. Because that's what Jacob did. Jacob just asked. Jacob said, bless me. Jabez said, bless me indeed. Let's pick it up right there. The call of Jabez. The call of Jabez. What happened when he called on the God of Israel? And who was he calling on indeed? He called on the same God that Jacob called on back then. And Jacob's name was turned to Israel. So now he's calling on that same God. And we call this area in verse number 10, Jabez's prayer. Jabez's prayer. You ever been crowded and surrounded by situations that seemed just like you couldn't get out of it? Seem to be unsurmountable. It just seemed to be against all odds. You're just destined to stay in this situation. You've been there before, amen. That's about where Jabez finds himself. I can't get out of this name. Everybody knows me that for that. I called my mother sorrow. Everywhere I go, there's sorrow. But I do know there's a God in Israel that I can call on and I can get a change. I believe he must have had some faith that God would do this. And possibly that's why he was more honorable than his brother, because he had faith. My wife saying, faith moves God. If you believe God can, this in his will, guess what? He will. He will. So let's look at some things here. Remember, Jacob said, bless me. Now Jabez adds, bless me indeed. Notice down there, Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Notice those words, indeed. In other words, what he's saying with indeed is really bless me or pour it on me. And notice the and connections denoting a continuation of what he's saying. He says, and enlarge my coast. And don't stop there. And that thine hand may be with me. And don't stop there. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Don't stop there. That it may not grieve me. And don't stop there. And God, what God? The God of Israel. The God that he called on. The God who changed Jacob's name. That God. And God granted him that which he requested. Folks, that's good. Guess what? You and I serve the same God. The God of Israel is the same God we serve. Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. The same God we serve. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez's prayer is that, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. The word bless means to greatly or abundantly benefit me. He's saying, God, I want you to benefit me. God, I've been known for a stress on my birth time with my mother. I've been known for sorrow. I've been known for sadness. Everything about my birth was not good. But God, I understand that. But God, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would pour it on. I see what you did for Jacob. I see how you changed his name. I see how his life was transformed. Oh, that you would do that for me. And then some. Praise God. And then some. Don't just stop there. Give me more. You see, I think that's being downright greedy. I think that's calling on a God who can. Hey, what are you going to ask for? You want a shack or you want a mansion? God, give me a shack, please. You say, well, that's showing humility. No, that's limiting God. God has the ability to give you a mansion. Now, it may not be in his will to give you one. But don't put any limits on God. Jabez said, I've been known for sorrow. I'm not putting any limits on you. I know what you did for Jacob. You changed his name to Israel and called him a prince with God. My name is Jabez Sorrow. What can you do for me? But do it indeed. And when you do it, don't stop. Keep on keeping on. Hey, folks, how do we pray to God? We go to God and say, oh, God, you know, if you can, God can. Well, God, if you will, if you can. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray in the will of God. I'm saying we pray from the standpoint as if God is some beggar as if God is some cripple, as if God is some impotent person, as if God can't open the windows of heaven, if God can't grant me another job, if God can't help me to parent my children, if God can't help me to love my wife, if God can't help me to be submissive to my husband, if God can't help me to obey my parents. We speak as if God can't when he can. He said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Bless me, give me, help me to be beneficial, abundantly pour it on. In other words, as I mentioned before, really give it to me. Really give it to me, is what he's saying. Amen. Hey, sometimes your children come to you, they ask and they say, give it to me. Really pour it on. My children, my house, we pick up, get the ice cream scooper and get to put that ice cream in there. And they look at what somebody else has. You know what they say? Well, you poured it on them. Really give it to me. Give me some ice cream indeed. Pour it on. I'm looking at that scoop. Then they have the audacity to compare it to mama's scoop. Look at mama's scoop. Pour it on. And my answer is, do you look like mama? You are not my wife. When you get your own husband, you get your own wife, you ask them and they will pour it on. Amen. Right now, y'all getting equal opportunity here. Amen. Of course, G2 has to chime up, but I'm older, so I eat more. Amen. Pour it on is what Jabez said. Really give it to me. Amen. Notice a few things here about Jabez's prayer. First of all, notice Jabez's prayer was for property. He says down there, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Pour it on. Notice the first thing, and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. Jabez's prayer was for property. The word enlarge means to increase in whatever respect. It means to bring in abundance. It means to bring up or to continue, to exceed, to make greater than it was, to heap up, to have more in number, to make much greater, to make to multiply or be plenteous. In other words, he's saying, Lord, give me more. Give me more. Don't just stop with the blessings. Pour it on me and give me more. Give me property, Lord. Give me more of what I have. By the way, I don't know about you, but when I began praying for a church building, I said, Lord, really give it to me. Lord, give it to me. Nathan, I used to go around the city looking at church buildings. I said, Lord, I could use something like that. Lord, I could use something like that. And Lord, they're not going to use it for anything good. I'm going to actually give out the gospel for real. Amen. And I'd look over here. Oh, Lord, you could give me that right there. Oh, God, give me something like that. Give me something exactly like that. Give it to me big. Hey, give it to me air conditioned, because we had a swamp cooler. Amen. Give it to me air conditioned. Amen. Really pour it on me. Give me a building for the children. God, give me something like that. I know you can do it. Oh, God, do it for me. I pray, pour it on. And not only did God pour it on, he gave it to us free of charge. $495,000 worth free. Who did that? My God did that. The God of Israel did that. The God of Jacob did that. The God of Jabez did that. I said, pour it on, and he poured it on. Left out of there with no note at all, except saying, paid in full. Amen. What happened? Pour it on. Pour it on.
Yes, sir.
Now, I didn't go up to this corner and ask for that church up there, that Sunrise Baptist Church, whatever it's called. I ain't asked for nothing like that. I said, Lord, I need something bigger than that. I don't want nothing like that. Give me, pour it on, Lord.
Yes.
He asked for pride. He said, enlarge my coast. Say, preacher, he can't ask for something like that. Hold your finger there. Go back to chapter 2. I told you Jabez was only mentioned three times in the Bible, right? One time is in verse number 9 of that verse. One time is in chapter number 10 of that verse. The other time is in chapter 2 of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 2 in 1 Chronicles. And there happens to be some scribes living in a location. And notice verse 55. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at, where's that place called? Come on, say it with me. Where's that place called? Come on, say it again. Where is it? What did he say? Enlarge my coast. There is a place that has Jabez's name there. Whether that's his property or whether they named it after him, the fact remains they're living in a place called Jabez. What did Jabez say? Enlarge my coast, pour it on. Folks, not just anybody is living there. The scribes are living there. The doctors of the law writing down the law, making sure we had it. The scribes are there, not just any old body. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Terethites, the Shimeathites, and the Succothites. These are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rahab. Rahab were those guys that made a vow that they would not drink any alcohol that God used for an illustration to Israel because they were so devoted to not drinking any alcohol. Hallelujah and praise God. That's who's staying there. And Jabez's property. What did he say? Enlarge my coast. And I don't want just anybody there, amen. The scribes are there. The scribes are there. What am I saying? Jabez's prayer was for property. He said, enlarge my coast. Go back to chapter number 4. Not only did Jabez pray for property, Jabez's prayer was also personal. Notice what he says down there. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, thou wilt bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. Notice that Jabez's prayer was also personal. He said, thine hand might be with me. Now, hand with me has a dual meaning, one of comfort and one of a compass. In some places of scripture, God's hand seems to indicate his comfort. In other places, his compass as a means of direction. When it comes to comfort, normally when you want your child to go where you go, you take them by the what? The hand. Some of y'all say, I take him by the neck. Amen. You should take him by the hand. Take him by the head. Get over here, boy. Amen. You take him by the hand. Why is that? For a compass to guide them. You're saying, I want you to come over this way. Other times we take our child by the hand is for comfort. They get afraid. What do they want to grab for? Your hand. Sometimes they grab your leg. Amen. Yeah. Or they grab with the big bad dog comes out. Roo, 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 roo. They grab that hand. Now, grabbing the hand ain't going to do much for me. I'm going to jump up in the arms, amen. The big bad dog, because I'm jumping up in the arms. My daddy was tall. So if the dog gets anybody, going to get dad first, get me second. I'm up here, amen. And normally the word there, hand with me, deals with a dual meaning, comfort and compass, dealing with a direction for compass and a comfort like a child, amen. There's another source of comfort that married couples often do. You see them grabbing each other's hand. Comfort, comfort, amen. Brother Kelly's probably got Sheila's hand now back there where I can't see it. Showing her hand, I love you. My wife and I at night, I can be dead, dog, beat, tired, sleep. My wife, I'll feel her grab for my hand at night in the bed. And sometimes she's sleeping, I'll grab for her hand. And like clockwork, she clutches my hand in her sleep. Now she doesn't know she does it. But I say, I want to get her hand. That comforts me. I can go back to sleep now. Amen. Have a bad dream. I grab her hand. She's still here. Amen. What am I talking about? He said, oh, that your hand will be with me. Oh, I need that comfort. I got sorrow, Lord. I was born with sorrow. I was born with this sorrowful name. And I'm asking you, do what you did for Jacob. You changed his name to Israel. Benjamin had his name changed from Benoni to Benjamin. All I'm asking is a blessing. Bless me indeed. He said, oh, Lord, I want my property to be increased, but I want to be personal with you. Take me by the hand. Thy hand may be with me. Psalm 80 and verse 17 says it this way. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Psalm 139, verse 10, he says, even there shall thy hand lead me like a compass, and thy right hand shall hold me. What am I saying? Jabez's prayer was personal. He said that thy hand may be with me. He's speaking of comfort. He's looking at a compass. He says, I need this comfort because my name means sorrow. I need this compass because as the sorrow is upon me, I need to know where to go. I need to know where to go to be successful. I need to know how to get there. God, take me by the hand. God, comfort me. Give me the compass and guide me along the way. And by the way, you want God's hand. You want God's hand. You really want to see his face, amen, see his face.
But you definitely want his hand as well as comfort and as a compass. What is Jabez saying here? His prayer was personal. His prayer was for property. But then thirdly, his prayer was for protection. Notice what he says down there. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil." Jabez asked God for protection from a variety of evils, as the definition renders. And when you look up the word evil, these are some of the associations with the word bad, whether natural or moral: adversity, affliction, calamity, displeasure, distress, great harm. He's saying, keep me from these things. Protect me from adversity. Protect me from affliction. Protect me from calamity. Protect me from displeasure. Protect me from great harm or hurt. Protect me from misery or trouble. Lord, I need you to protect me. Why? My name means sorrow. And it seems to follow me wherever I go. And Lord, not only do I want you to enlarge my coast, give me some more property. Lord, not only do I want your hand to be with me, let's stay personal. Lord, protect me. Protect me from evil. There's some bad people out there. Some, just because my name is Sorrow, have it out for me. You ever found out in some of those old times when guy's name was Butch? Butch came up. The other guy comes in here and wants to be the bad guy. Oh, you Butch? Oh, yeah. I don't want to trifle with any. I don't want alfalfa. I don't want buckwheat. I don't want Porky. I want Butch. Give me the baddest one around here. That's what Butch said when he came to Alfalfa and Little Rascals. He said, look, I want to lick the toughest one of y'all out here. If I lick the toughest one out here, then we can go on then. And I'm the bad guy on the block. When your name is Sorrow, sometimes people have it out for you. Oh, your name is Sorrow anyway, so you ain't going to be about anything anyway. Oh, your name is Useless anyway, so you're not going to be good for anything anyway. Oh, your name is Poor Mouth, so you're not going to be good for anything anyway. And so because of the name, he says, keep me from a bunch of evils that may be here. The word also is dealing with trouble or wickedness or wicked ones. Keep me from the wicked ones or the wickedness or wretchedness or wrong. Hey, folks. 1 Samuel 25 and verse 39, this is what David said about evil. When it came to him trying to kill Nabal. By the way, if David had killed Nabal, he would have had a black mark on his reign as king. Notice what David said in 1 Samuel 25, verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, because Nabal died of a heart attack before David got there, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal," notice this, "and hath kept his servant from evil." Has kept his servant from evil. Hey, you and I are prone to run into evil. Jabez said, protect me from this. Keep me from evil. Keep me from the hurt. Keep me from the adversity. Keep me from the affliction. Keep me from the misery. Keep me from this. No, that's what Jesus told us to do. Jesus told us to pray in the same way. Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. Luke 11:4, Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. Paul's encouragement was this way in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So if God is faithful to establish us and keep us from evil, we are right in line with Jabez's Old Testament prayer and say, oh, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. By the way, we don't need to walk into evil. Amen. By the way, if it looks evil, it probably is. And if it doesn't, if it's not evil, but it looks evil, the Bible still says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Somebody say amen besides Jeff. Amen. You say, Well, it looks evil, but let me test it out first. Well, yeah, you're right, it's evil. Guess I blew that one. You're right. If it looks evil, stay away from it. Hey, if a dog is barking and has teeth, I have no business sticking my hand through the fence to see if he bites. You draw back some teeth and you say, I guess he bites. You numbskull. Don't do that.
The Bible says, keep me from evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks evil, stay away. Jabez says, I got enough worries already. I got enough problems. My name is sorrow. Lord, I don't need any more. Keep me from anything that's evil. Get me away from evil people, evil situations, evil shows, evil music, evil. Just give me away. After a while, you'd be staying away from yourself. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. How does God keep us from evil? By obedience to his word. How does a child stay out of trouble? Listen to his parents. We were just talking about that the other day. Would your parent ever spank you for doing what you told them to do? If the parent told you to do it and you did it, guess what? That's the parent's fault. It's not your fault. So the parents are going to tell you what's right to do. They will discipline you for doing what's wrong to do when they told you to do right and you did wrong. By the way, if parents don't do it, the law will. That's what it's there for. Amen. Hey, how do we keep from evil? Notice a few verses from Psalms concerning evil and our avoidance of it by obeying. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Amen. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37, verse 27, depart from evil and do good. You know, there's a strange thing about that. I can't do evil whilst I'm doing good. I can't do the will of the devil while doing the will of God. I can't be wrong and be right at the same time. Both of these Psalms, 34:14 and 37:27, depart from evil and do good. So if I'm getting away from evil, I can do good. If I'm getting away from evil, good, I'm probably going to do evil. Amen. Amen. Hey, Proverbs says it the same way. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from what? You guessed it, evil. Proverbs 4:27 says it this way, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from, you guessed it, evil. So I'm to fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm to remove my foot from evil. But then Proverbs 13 and verse 19 says it this way, it's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Ooh, no, preacher, say it ain't so. So if you don't want to depart from evil, the Bible calls you a fool. I ain't say that. The Bible says it. It's an abomination to fool to depart from evil. So if you want to get yourself wrapped up in evil, the Bible calls you a fool. Amen. But it says in Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be wise. What is Jabez saying here? He's saying, you know what, Lord? I'm asking for property. I'm asking for you to be personal with me. I'm asking for protection. There are evils out there and a variety of ways that can attract me and get me tripped up. Lord, I need you to protect me. Jesus said the same thing. Keep them from evil. Paul said you can be kept from evil. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Why did Jabez want this request for this protection from evil? Notice what he says down here in that verse. That it might not, what? Grieve me. He says, you know what, Lord? I've already got a sorrowful name. I'm asking for property. I'm asking to stay personal. I'm asking for protection for a reason. If I get into, I've got enough grief being Jabez. I got enough. My mother used to tell me, boy, you can do bad all by yourself. You don't need help. You don't need to be around a company of foolish people. You can do bad all by yourself, boy. So you is good enough. Stay away from people that's going to take you down because you can do bad all by yourself. You don't need no help. He's saying, I don't want to be grieved from this evil that's out there. It'll grieve me. By the way, it seems fun in the beginning. I did some foolish things when I was a kid, and I was doing foolish things, doing evil. Then I run home. Then the cops knocking on the door. It's not fun anymore. Doing evil is not fun anymore. Why? I was unwise. I was unwise. And you know what happened? It grieved me. Jabez said, I need protection from these variety of evils because I don't want to be grieved. The word grieved means to worry, to pain, or to anger. He said, I don't want to be pained over this. I don't want to worry over this. I don't want to be angered over this or displeased or hurt over this. I don't want to be sorry. Those are words for grieved. I don't want to be that way. I've got it bad enough already. My name is sorrow. I don't need anything added to my sorrow. And if I'm not protected from evil, I know that I'm prone to get into, it's going to grieve me. It's going to grieve me. Jabez, in his prayer, looking back at Jacob, and Jacob's name changed, and Jacob's character changed, and Jacob's transformation. Looking back at Benoni, how Jacob said, I don't want to have him have the same thing that happened to me. I'm going to change him from Benoni to Benjamin. And then he looked at himself and said, my name's still Jabez and it's tough on me, but I can call on that same God, the God of Israel. And the way he blessed him, I can ask him to bless me indeed. And so I'm going to ask him for some property and he gave it. I'm going to ask him for some personal touches and he gave it. And I'm going to ask him for some protection from these evils and he gave it. Notice what the rest of the verse says. And God granted him that which he requested. In other words, you have not because you asked not. You have not because you asked not. The Bible is clear. God is a generous God. He's looking to bless us. He's looking to give to us. Especially if you're raised with a name called Jabez in sorrow. Now, I don't know what your sorrow is here today, but I can tell you this. God wants to bless you too. Maybe a child caused you sorrow at birth. Maybe the situation of the child caused you sorrow. Maybe as the child grew, it caused sorrow. Maybe as you grew, it caused sorrow. Maybe you caused sorrow to a mother or father. Maybe you're causing sorrow to someone right now. Maybe some at your job is causing you sorrow. Maybe your pay is giving you sorrow. Maybe some medical afflictions that you have is causing you sorrow. I'm here to submit to you that God is well able to bless indeed. He's well able. Jabez looked back and said, if you did it for Jacob, and you changed his name to Israel, then I'm calling on the God of Israel. And I may not have a name change, but I'm sure going to get a life change. I may not have what I want, but I'm going to have some things I need. Some of the things I need is to increase my property. Some of the things I need is to, Lord, keep it personal. Some of the things I need is protect me from evil. I know me. I don't want it to grieve me. I have enough grief already. Don't need any more. At the conclusion of Jabez's life, he was able to say that God had done a great work increasing his property, keeping him personal, providing protection, and keeping him from evil. Why? Sorrow's going to come. Sorrow's going to go. But Jabez can say, you know what? I got blessed. I can deal with being called Jabez now. I got property. I got protection. I'm personal with God. I can deal with stress now. I can deal with sorrow now. I can deal when it's bad. Why? I've got a God in heaven who loves me. And perhaps your sorrow is a broken home today. Maybe it's a physical disability. Maybe it's a debilitating problem, a bad reputation, terrible social outcome. I don't know. Terrible social situation, poverty. Guilt from a sinister secret plot years ago, some things that you've done that you're not proud of, and your sorrow is there and it's mounting and it's building. Maybe you're jobless, homeless, a besetting sin, a sinful weakness. I don't know what your sorrow is, but I know there's sorrows plenty and many. Sometimes it's inward sorrow. You don't tell anybody about it, but you hurt just the same. Sometimes it's shared sorrow. You share it with someone else, and you all hurt together. Sometimes it's outward sorrow. Everybody knows about it, but nobody can do anything about it. I submit to you that God is able to do something about it. Jabez said, I serve a God who's able. And I'm not going to be just satisfied with being called sorrow. I'm not going to be satisfied with being associated with sorrow at my birth. I can't do anything about my birth, but I can do something about the path that I'm going. I can't do anything about what's already transpired. But I can do something about what's going to transpire. I can call on God. I can ask him to bless me indeed. God may change your sorrow into success like Jabez. He may leave it with you and give you his grace in return like he did Saul, Paul. Paul said, your grace is sufficient. Either way, God's desire is to change and conform us to the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Jabez's prayer started off with his call. He looked at his situation, looked at his surroundings, looked at his birth, and looked back. Then he looked up and said, oh God, thou wouldest bless me indeed. And. And at the end, and God granted him. What do you need to pray for today? What relationship do you need to pray for today? What situation do you need to pray for today? What do you need to pray for? Jabez had the right idea. He called on the God of Israel. We can learn from his ordinary sorrow that we have extraordinary support in the times that we need it the most. We don't know at what period did Jabez call on God. We don't know. We don't know what the sorrow was around his birth. We don't know why he was more honorable, but we do know that he called on God. That's one thing we know. That's one thing that we can do. We can call on the same God. And that same God is able. Folks, I'm living proof. God gave us this building. Every time you step into this building, you should say, I stepped into a building that was called on in prayer. And it was given to us free. Amen. It was given to us free. Every time I know who I can call on when I've got a problem. Your call today must start with a call to be saved. You've got to be a child of God. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, that's your first call. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Your first call, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I need to be called to be saved from my sin. But once that happens, guess what? You are a child of God, and you can call and ask for just about anything in the will of God. And the Bible says he heareth us if we pray according to his will. Now, you may not get it right away. He may say yes. He may say no. He may say wait. In Jabez's instance, he said yes, 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 and yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I like yes.
So do I.
I like yes. But even a no is the will of God for me. And that should be, I like that too, because it's better for me. It's better for me. Jabez got his prayer answered because he did pray. Are you a praying man? Are you a praying woman? Are you a praying young person? Pray and call on the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can bless your life. Jabez, we don't know a whole lot about Jabez except his prayer. But there's a whole lot behind the scenes that caused him to call the way he did. And God blessed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.